People have been wondering for a week whether or not it would happen, and here it has. Barclays CEO Bob Diamond has resigned. Diamond's on the sole of his feet. I don't know, but he certainly was making a pretty big salary if you check out his compensation, and I think he gets a pretty golden parachute as well. It's the highest profile casualty of an interest rate rigging scandal that involves more than a dozen major banks all around the world. He's an American, but the boss of a British bank. Barclays had agreed to pay $450 million last week to settle accusations that it tried to manipulate key interest rates. Those rates are used to determine the cost of the rates that you pay on things like credit cards, mortgages, even your home loans. And there's some other banks involved in this scandal. We still need more details on exactly how JP Morgan Chase and Citigroup, among others, were involved. Joining us now from London is Rob Watson, political correspondent for our partner, the BBC. And Rob, I wonder, has there been any evidence that links Bob Diamond directly to this scandal, or was he basically bowing to pressure?
There's not been direct evidence in the sense that there's some email where everyone goes, aha, that's it, it's all about Bob. No, there hasn't been that. There has been some evidence suggesting that he had had conversations with regulators at the Bank of England about this particular interest rate. But what Bob Diamond himself has said pretty unequivocally is, look, I was pushed out by political pressure. That's not quite the way he put it. He said external pressure, but I don't think there's any reason that the reason why he's gone is he just feels that all the politicians have turned against him and that he's the kind of banker that had to go.
And I want to play this comment from British MP John Mann. Actually, Bob Diamond's going to have to answer to John Mann and others when he appears before a parliamentary committee tomorrow, but here's what John Mann had to say.
Bob Diamond was a bank manager who couldn't be trusted. We need to have bank managers that we can trust. That's the problem. And the big problem for Barclays isn't, in fact, whether people like me ask awkward questions of Bob Diamond, which we certainly will continue to do, but whether across the world people trust the name of Barclays Bank.
I wonder, Rob, it sounds there as though John Mann is saying, look, we had a bad apple. But it sounds to me as though the conversation among the financial industry is a culture of bad apples.
Yes, and I think to be fair, although the particular clip you played there of John Mann focused on Bob Diamond, I think the general political atmosphere in Britain, and I think it's fair to say it's not just in Britain, is it, is that there's been a culture that's at fault in the banking sector, not just in Britain, but in other financial centres, and certainly not just at Barclays Bank. So I don't think this is about one man. There is a sense that this is something much wider.
And exactly what happens next in this investigation?
That's a very good question. Which investigation, I'm almost tempted to
ask.
It's
true.
Because if I can try and kind of get this as simple and as straightforward as possible, there are a few going on. Essentially, the FSA, that's the Financial Services Authority, which is Britain's regulatory body, is still carrying out an investigation into what other banks might have been involved in the manipulation or fixing of this key interest rate, as you hinted at earlier. There's also a very focused investigation is going to start in Britain into this particular interest rate involved, known as LIBOR. It's an interbank lending rate. And then thirdly, there's this almighty squabble has broken out amongst the politicians in this country as to a wider inquiry into banking culture. And essentially, the coalition government here is saying, let's do it quickly, let's get on with it, let's have it led by Parliament. And the main opposition Labour Party is saying, no, let's do like we've done with the media and have a judge-led inquiry. You probably all know of Justice Leveson and the appearances of Rupert Murdoch and other great and good.
Yeah, I've heard of that guy, Rupert Murdoch, over here on the side. But, you know, I wanted to play yet another comment from you. This is the European Commission President, Jose Manuel Barroso. He's speaking in Brussels here.
We have seen once again in recent months and weeks, both in the United States and in Europe, including in some of the major banking institutions, that practices that have fueled the financial crisis are not yet eradicated from the sector. Once again, we have been confronted with reckless trading and market manipulation. It is time that these practices stop once and for all. And it is time that the sector that owes so much to the taxpayer support accepts to hand back a fair share to society.
So there's two things that strike me in that comment, Rob. Number one, it's almost as though it's not explicit. He's making a connection between possible misbehavior in the financial sector with the lingering financial problems worldwide and especially in the European sector. But also he seems to be saying that this needs to be a global solution, that this can't be simply the UK dealing with Barclays or the US, for example, dealing with, you know, problems at JP Morgan Chase, that somehow the entire banking community needs to come together.
I wouldn't disagree with your analysis at all. I think what critics will say is that this is an extremely political bit of posturing by Mr. Barroso, and in part will be seen as a reaction to the ticking off that he got and that Eurozone leaders have got for their dithering about what to do about their currency. Because, of course, there is a view amongst critics that, yes, of course, there has been a banking crisis, and sometimes that gets labelled as something Anglo-Saxon. But I think an awful lot of economists will tell you, well, that's one thing. But completely separately to that, the Eurozone has managed its affairs very, very badly. And lots of governments in the Eurozone have been living way beyond their means, spending far more than they got in revenues. And let's not muddy the waters in the way that Mr. Barroso is doing, that they're rather separate issues.
So, Rob, what are the chances that finally we have reached a scandal which could actually result in a real change in regulations and the way that the banks do their business?
Well, I think that the regulators and the governments in the United States and in the UK would say, there have already been changes, let's not be too cynical, and that there are further changes in the pipeline. For example, in the UK, some pretty major changes are planned in the way banks are run, with the idea of ring fencing what are known as the casino operations, the kind of investment banking, the lucrative and risky side of it, from the high street banks, where you go and stick your card in the ATM and get out your money. So that there have been changes on the way. On this broader question of will it lead to some sort of change in kind of culture, the way the city operates, the financial district in this country and in others, with the scenes of champagne popping, highly paid young bank workers, well, who knows? One could argue that those days are already, maybe that era is already coming to a little bit of an end, at least publicly.
Well, certainly Bob Dimon's era at Barclays has come to an end. He's resigned. Thanks so much to Rob Watson, political correspondent for our partner, the BBC. Thanks, Rob.
Good to be with you, Celeste.